Yo, Greg, it's your boy Mike, Massachusetts. Dude, honestly, your podcast is like one of the most important things to ever happen to me. Like, seriously. I'm in school, I work full time. I've listened to so much of the information on your podcast, and not that it's so much taught me new things or programmed me to think a different way, so much as it's deprogrammed me from the indoctrination that I've grown up with for the last 16, 17 years, 18 years, whatever. And dude, I think that's more important than anything, because I hear this information and dude, I take it with a grain of salt. Some stuff really, really resonates with me, especially magic, because I know that's all legit and I'm totally down. So it's good to deprogram, man. I've been putting so many people on to like better trains of thoughts, mainly around my age. I tutor a 10-year-old kid and I slip little things in here and there, and he's like, wow, that's fascinating, that's amazing, they don't teach us that in school. And I don't get too fringe or crazy, because that's not fair to him or the parent, you know what I'm saying, man? It's all about finding a common thread that you can pique someone's interest in and then just injecting some dope truth into it. And dude, I need to thank you. You're a hero. You are really doing something very good for the people that find this, more so than anyone else that I've seen, you know. Of course, you gotta give your interviewees credit, but you're a good man, Greg. I really appreciate it. Higher Side Plus subscription was the best thing I've ever did. Dude, peace, love, and happiness, my G. One.
In the 1930s, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt addressed the nation through a series of radio broadcasts known as the Fireside Chats. His aim was to reassure the common man that our society would recover from its troubled times. But we're far from 1930, and I deal with a different kind of far. For a new era of worldly frustration, we offer a fresh conversation. I'm Greg Carlwood, and these are the Higher Side Chats.
How are we doing, Higher Side Chatters? Drinking a little drink, smoking a little smoke, and just looking for some relief in these troubled times. From sunny San Diego, I'm Greg Carlwood, and although conspiracy culture has been screaming about impending doom like an old white overweight Chicken Little, there is an ebb and flow to these feelings, and I think we're currently going through a period where tensions are high and paranoia is making a comeback. And I'm not saying it's unfounded either. Spend an hour on the dozens of blogs dedicated to shining a spotlight on police in America right now and tell me you don't feel like hiding under the floorboards if God forbid they start banging on your door. Well, today we're not only going to talk about how bad things are getting, but also explore something we haven't talked about much since an old show with Jeff Berwick, but that's the idea of expatriating. Of recognizing that the elite's agenda in your neck of the woods seems to be ramping up, or the recognition that martial law or an economic collapse is on the way, or you don't want to be exposed to all the poisons of modern culture, or if you maybe just don't want to pay taxes that contribute to the biggest war machine on the planet. For some people, these reasons and more are enough to say, I'm gonna live my life elsewhere. And Zen is a man who did exactly that. So why waste any more time? Let's dive into it, people. Park your ass and pack your glass and let the fantasy of your little tropical paradise far from martial law and the totalitarian tiptoe be your guide. As we spend some time with a man who's made it happen and has lived to tell the tale, Zen Gardner.
Here's a chance to run down the rabbit hole. He's asking who is really running the show. Pull back the curtain and take a peek. Puppet masters play hide and seek. Not a sunny walk to there and back. Greg likes it weird on the Higher Side Chats.
All right, folks, we know the elite have many campaigns going against the people, from false flags and psyops to the push towards martial law in World War III, and today we're talking to Zen Gardner, who writes about these things and more on his powerhouse of a website at zengardner.com, where he focuses on empowering humanity, raising the consciousness level, and dismantling some of our old manipulated mindsets. In a conspiracy culture of fear-mongering, drama, and angry shouting, I like that Zen will take you to the dark side with a smile on his face. I couldn't be more psyched to have him here. Zen Gardner, my man. And welcome to THC.
Hey, thanks, Greg. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for taking the time. I really like your style, and there's definitely a lot going on right now in the world that deserves to be discussed. But I figured to get the ball rolling, I'm a little bit curious about the journey and process that you underwent to become an expat, get out of America, and relocate a little further from the hive. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself in that context for some of the people who might be stuck in the American bubble and kind of daydreaming about similar steps? It's hard not to these days, right?
Oh, you're not kidding. Everybody's got to be keeping things in mind. One of the shocking statistics that really blows my mind is that only about 7% of Americans even have passports.
Ah.
Isn't that staggering?
Yeah, that's pretty low.
And talk about not being prepared. And anybody listening, if you don't have your passport, don't wait any longer, because it's only going to get more and more difficult. They're jacking the prices. I mean, they've got that big old RFID thing inside of it, but you can put it inside of a protective jacket where it won't broadcast or get picked up. Mm-hmm. You can get those online. But yeah, well, I'm from the Woodstock generation, and actually I was there.
Awesome.
What a wild ride. But our generation, you know, had this big wake up and shake up in the 60s. And now this was derailed by and partially brought on by the CIA and other psyops and misdirecting what could have been more productive demonstration and fighting the war and all into a drug and sex culture and getting everybody, you know.
Yeah, they kind of neutralized a lot of the momentum.
Exactly. And then before you knew it, I mean, you know, all of a sudden it was stylish and you saw the bell bottoms on TV, and they just co-opted the whole thing and just made it shallow. And then you find Jerry Rubin working on Wall Street, and all these guys are just back into the system they so-called rebelled against. Anyway, so we had a big shakeup and a big wake-up. And for me, it was mainly spiritual, because this got me onto the path of mysticism, really searching for answers to the big questions. Without those answers, I don't know how people can keep operating, because nothing makes sense. And then you're forced to play their game according to their rules and all inside of their paradigm. And it's a treadmill mm-hmm. until, you know, until we pass on, which is a definition of insanity. So that set me on the path. And as a result of that, I knew America was crashing way back then. A lot of us did. And we could see it for what it really was. The police state was already manifesting quite strongly. And, you know, the military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower labeled it, which was a phrase used amongst the alternatives of that day, and still is, and it's still very apt. So I decided to get out of there. And I spent 20 years, I think I left in 1972, but 20 years I visited about 40 countries and lived for a good length of time in at least 17 or 18 of them. So I really experienced the countries. I wasn't a tourist. That gave me an advantage to getting used to being in other cultures and realizing that the American bubble is what it is. And now it's even worse than it was back then. I mean, honestly, when I got to Europe in my little hippie garb of the day, and I felt like such an idiot, because Americans were so, they couldn't speak the other languages. They stuck out like sore thumbs. And I felt like, oh my goodness, What did I just come out of? But that wears off. 10 of those years, I was in Latin America. So I know Latin America to some extent. I've lived in several countries down here. And I'm currently in Uruguay, which has a lot of advantages. But each person has to be looking for what suits their needs, visa requirements, how you intend on supporting yourself, and things like that. But first of all, get your passport and go somewhere. If you haven't been out of the country at all, go to Mexico. You can start with Puerto Rico, although that's still America, but at mm-hmm. least you get the sense of something outside of the main bubble, which I call a gulag now. But get out there and go further. Go to Central America, Costa Rica. They call it the 51st state. It's got a lot of American influence. But it's still, you get the third world flavor and the crazy driving and
yes.
and you're bathed in a new language and it's wonderful. Then you get down to the continental South America, and every country is completely unique. I lived in Venezuela. Then you go next to Colombia, completely different feel. Then you move further down. You've got Ecuador, which is a very popular place to go because of the cost of living, and there's a lot of expats there. And then Peru and Chile, and then you've got a whopping Brazil, which is a whole nother world. And then on down, you've got Paraguay. Then at the bottom, you've got Argentina. All of these are unique cultures. The further south you go, just to give a little overview for people who haven't ever been down here, and in American education completely lacking in all this, But Argentina and Uruguay are very European. Except for them speaking Spanish, you wouldn't even know it was a Latin country almost. They came from, well, they come mainly from Spain and Italy here, a lot of them from the Canaries. And then, as you know, after World War II, a lot of Germans came down. You had the escaping Germans, but you had a lot of English moved down here. So that there's a lot of subcultures of older European sort of, not dynasties, but lines, family lines. And you can see it. You'll see, you know, blondes and very fair-skinned people. Then you see other people that are more Mediterranean-looking. And, of course, when the good old European and North American came down here, they wiped out the indigenous populations. It's just the absolute horror. Mm-hmm. There's hardly any of them left in Uruguay. They had a beautiful culture.
Seems to be what we do.
Yes, it seems to be in the script. But I would say go and explore. It's worth it. You know, spend the money. Go and spend even 3 months somewhere and just live there. And find a friend. What I look for in my personal life path, and I'm happy now I'm free to do this, is to follow synchronicity, follow life signs. We all get them. But if you're nailed down to a job, or you've got all these criteria, or you've already set you have preset notion of what's supposed to happen in your life, what do you think is going to unfold in front of you, that's going to hang you up, because you've got to be willing to move. You've got to be, you know, picture Barry Sanders running through the fence. You know, he doesn't predetermine where he's going to go. He might have an idea what the play is, but he's really got to be agile. He's got to be ready to move, shake and bake, you know, and do what needs to be done off the cuff. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like that. And it's going to be more and more so as things continue to unravel. And those who are in tune with this type of following life signs and synchronicities and are in tune with that are going to be fine. And those who aren't, it's going to unravel, and it's not going to be a very pretty sight, because spiritually we've hit a great divide. And I'm sure many of your listeners know exactly what I'm talking about. The people who have hardened their minds and their hearts are getting worse and uglier and more adamant and, you know, sucked right into the police state mindset, whereas the others are going, man, I'm out of here, or, you know, this is absolutely berserk, right? And let's set up an alternative community. Let's at least find each other. Let's get something going. Let's work on the new world, because I don't even want to talk about how bad that old world is. It's horrific. I mean, we need to keep up on what's going on, but
right,
like you said in the beginning, though, fear porn, that's really, it's an awful thing, and it really leaks into every, even in the alternative community. That's why I always end my articles on a positive note, you know, that we have empowerment. We are eternal consciousness. Nothing can stop us, not even death. We have everything to be very confident and very peaceful about and very happy about. While on the same token, we get absolutely pissed off and indignant at some of these things happening in the news. That's okay. That's righteous indignation. But when it's leading your emotions and you get hooked into a negative mindset, then that's not healthy.
Right.
Which is where all this political razzmatazz comes from. I wrote an article called The Anger Games, how they lure people into this, like what's happening now in Baltimore.
Yeah.
It's, you know, now they're even the mainstream is saying that these gangs came in from somewhere else on the last day and made a peaceful protest a mess. These are just agents provocateurs coming in, as they love to do, and make everybody bring up their same old scenario.
We have seen a lot of that. You know, I've paid close attention to the Ferguson protests and seen what's happening with that, because it's kind of near where I grew up. Mm. And yeah, I mean, it only takes, you have a crowd of 100 people, it only takes one or two to start throwing bricks or being violent, and then that becomes the news story. And you could be talking about one guy out of 100.
Yeah. And often you see them step right through from behind the police lines with the police. They'll step through in their black outfits. The cop doesn't even talk to them. Lets them through, and they walk into the crowd and start doing their busting up stuff. I mean, it's been caught. That's one really cool thing happening. It's people are catching these things live, and they're out on the net within an hour. But all that to say, it is important to keep in mind, if you need to get out of the country, where would you go? That also lends back to having a community around you. You've got to contact people of like minds. I'm working on something called the Full Circle Project now, that's going to have a community connector that's going to be secure, where you can find others near you to get, you know, get in touch, because so much of our communication is cyber chatter. And that's one reason I'm going to England next month, and we're going to be having some meetings and some events and some planning for this Full Circle project, because it's time to get out there. It's time to connect. It's time to make real face-to-face connections, because when things start to crumble, we really need each other physically as well as spiritually and mentally. But we're going to need to be in touch, and we need to have contingency plans, because as I was saying on another interview just recently, when I was in Iran during the revolution.
Wow.
I was working at the TV station, and my third child was due to be born. And because my wife was 9 months pregnant, they wouldn't let us get on a plane to get out of there. So we had to sit and wait as things got worse and worse. Khomeini hadn't come yet, but you know, it was before he came that the real mess happened. And southern Tehran was getting burned down. We watched convoys of military going down the street, and all they would do is click their microphone speaker, click, click, and you'd hear echo. And there's like this death march. They're heading down to the south, and people were getting slaughtered. And you'd hear, you know, machine gun fire, and the bank on our corner got burned down. All the theaters got burned down. And we lived right near the university where it started. And we were getting warnings under our door because we were foreigners. And, you know, if you're in that environment and a country is breaking down, and then martial law gets declared on top of it, it is nothing you could even begin to understand or fathom. It is worse than being in an earthquake. I was in the Northridge earthquake. And after that, all the lights were out. You know, you don't know what happened. What roads are closed? How bad is it? Is that the pre-tremor to a worse earthquake and all those things? And then the aftershocks. That's bad. But the difference there is people tend to pull together. It's not a societal breakdown. Mm-hmm. When you have martial law and these kind of crazy things going on, people get in this survival mode, and they only care about themselves. Right. And the only people they trust are people that they can talk to. But what happens is the phone lines go down. See, it's all rumors. And neighbors are talking to neighbors. Did you hear this? Did you hear that? And then at nighttime, you hear the machine guns going off. And then the phones come on. Then the phones go off. Electricity's on. The electricity's off. I mean, it is a frightening scenario if you're not rooted in some, you know, a real sense of
community.
Conscious, yeah, and also a conscious awareness that, you know, you've got that untouchable space, so you can operate from a place of peace and confidence. But it's very different from a post-earthquake scenario, even the, you know, and those are terrible. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's going to happen. But when society breaks down and it gets to that kind of a thing, and believe me, when they pull the plug on America, which they're obviously poised to do, and you've got all this Jade Helm stuff going on, just
right.
Looks like they're teeing everything up. And you know, when they have these kind of operations, they love to go live, and nobody even seems to notice that they were doing something right when it happened, like all the false flags. But people are onto this, as you know. This Jade Helm thing really has people alarmed, because
right.
this is a broad operation, and you know, activists are very concerned, because we know our names are on their lists, and you know, are they going to come knocking on your door?
Exactly. That is a concern.
It is.
And I know you've been writing about that a little bit lately, and I wanted to get into that for people who might not be familiar with the Jade Helm term yet, if they haven't been looking on the alternative websites. Can you give a little bit of context for that? It is a pretty scary situation, it seems.
Well, it's a massive operation. I'm not thoroughly versed in all the details, but it covers a lot of states. But they're mainly targeting, it seems, the more threatening to the establishment states, like Texas. And I think Utah is in the crosshairs. But they're also, it's covering a whole range of those southeastern into the Midwestern states. But there's also operations going on up in the north. I think it's Wyoming or Montana. They just conducted a weapon of mass destruction drill. And these are going on in communities that, you know, they don't know what's going on. Or in Florida, they were doing night exercises and with hardly any warning. then a part of the Jade Helm thing is they're going to have unmarked military amongst the people. Mm-hmm. And so so-called drill. Now, the excuse that they've been giving is that we're preparing for, you know, the situation in the Middle East, so this is helping us. But when does the military dress in civilian clothes in the Middle East? I mean, give me a break. As usual, their story never makes any sense. But it's a massive operation, and it's going to go on, I think, from July to September. Is that something like that?
Right.
Or so they're saying. But the potential, and you know, they're moving in all kinds of military equipment. There's a video online yesterday. Somebody went up I-15 towards Barstow. For all Californians, you'll know where that is. It's on the way to Las Vegas from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And he videoed it, and out in the desert that is normally completely abandoned, there are thousands of Humvees, all kinds of, you know, personnel carriers, just loaded with equipment. You're telling me that's going to be going overseas? That's for domestic use. But, you know, just an unreal mm-hmm. amount of equipment. And people are reporting this kind of activity all over.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, don't let it inspire fear, but alertness and awareness, we really have to be, you know, on our toes. It's very important, but not afraid.
The element that I feel is probably most concerning is you alluded to the idea that they have a lot of people on a watch list. And you did write about the fact that in the past, during the Cold War, there was some documents that have been leaked since then that showed that as of April 1956, almost 13,000 people were, quote, scheduled for apprehension in an emergency. And, you know, that's pretty concerning. Now we hear the NSA has been gathering more and more data on us. You'd assume that that list is a lot bigger, probably a lot more efficient. And some people are worried about that list in this Jade Helm context, because if they're going to be out on the streets, what are they doing? Some people think that the real agenda is to infiltrate and then take those people who have guns, lock them up, take those people who are doing shows like we're doing, lock them up. And yeah, that's where it gets to be a little bit concerning.
And what a perfect cover. Oh, this isn't a live operation, but they go ahead and do it while everybody's unprepared, they're off balance, they're on their heels.
Right.
They're not saying this is martial law, we're coming for you. So then everybody gets a chance to get prepared. They're going to, oh, we're just doing a drill. But when, you know, I mean, put yourself in the shoes of these totalitarian psychopaths. How would you play the game? Wouldn't you go about it that way? You try to get them off guard. You would do everything with total deceit, which they consider fair game, of course, and always have. Total misleading. You try to get, if you're in a boxing match, you know, like rope-a-dope or something, you'll get the other guy just to get worn out or just get him to relax. It's okay. We're just sparring. We're just sparring. And then wham, you take him out. And so people need to realize this is how these people operate. We can't judge these by normal criteria. And that's a very big subject. Because that's why a lot of people don't believe that there is a they, as I say, that there is a cabal, that these corporations and governments and banksters are all coordinated in their effort to control, subjugate, and even eliminate much of humanity. These people are insane. And people think, well, I'm not like that. I can't even fathom somebody being like that. It can't be that bad. Well, that's how they get away with it, because they aren't like us. This is a very different type of being we're dealing with, whether, you know, the Christians call it demonic possession. The Muslims have a word for these things called jinn, these demons. You know, then there's the Gnostic teachings about the archons and these mental parasites. Whichever paradigm, they all point to the same thing. These people are driven by something else, and that will not make sense according to a normal, loving human being. In fact, they can't even fathom it until they see it happen, which is the story you read through the ages. And it wasn't until, you know, the Holocaust after Holocaust, you know, whether it's China, Armenia, Palestine, you know, Cambodia, people come out and they go, I didn't know humans could be this savage. And I didn't think anything could be this evil. And they're shocked for life. That's why you see Eastern Europeans, they don't have much expression on their faces. They've been through a very heavy you know, strong-handed upbringing, and if they didn't go through these past regimes themselves, then their parents did. And this, it really instills a very, very sad mindset in these people.
It does. You bring up a great issue of, is there really a they? Is there really a group that's working together, or are they little pockets of power that are fighting for control? And a great example of that in the Jade Helm context is Walmart. There's a lot of Walmarts that are closing suddenly for plumbing issues, and a lot of people have tried to connect this to Jade Helm, saying, look, they are emptying huge buildings. These are huge warehouses across the country that could be used for makeshift detention centers. And it's scary. But then on the other hand, people are like, well, would Walmart participate in that? And it's like, probably. They don't seem to treat their own employees all that well. You think they're going to care about the strangers out there?
Yeah. Apparently they're using Targets in Canada, getting Targets prepared, and also Home Depot's involved.
Wow.
These are very, very serious developments. People have also talked about underground trains between some of these centers. And we've known about underground bases and underground tunnels for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This is very serious stuff. But people have tried to get into these Home Depots. I don't know if you've seen some of these videos. Because, I mean, not Home Depots, the Walmarts. Because some of them have kept their pharmacies open. So if you go in to get to the pharmacy, they've got the whole inside walled off with stacks of shelves. You can't see a thing. And there's cops on every corner of the building.
Mm.
Now, if there's plumbing issues, why do you need police watching the place? And besides that, there wasn't a single sound. There wasn't the sight of any repair trucks. And people looked online for even work orders for plumbing for these Walmarts. And there's nothing. So it's complete BS. So something very strange is going on. I think it's important to kind of draw it all together and go, okay, this is serious stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been saying this for years. The trouble is, when it starts to come down really fast, it's a little late to call the shots. You're going to be forced to be put on the defensive, which is one of the reasons we got out of there. And I've said to people, you know, if you can, I would highly suggest, like they say, he that fights and runs away lives to fight another day. I'm not going to give up ever doing what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But this way I can keep going. I've got a place, and all my kids know where they can come if they have to hop a plane and can to get out of there. I'm prepared for them. And we've got a lot. We've got 8 kids and 16 grandkids between us. So that's a very big concern of ours.
Wow.
I know. Quite the passel, huh?
Yeah.
It's two marriages. But it's very serious. It's very serious. And at the very least, people need to prepare in place. And like I said, I think community and having a communications line is extremely important. People are working with ways to keep the internet going locally that goes through its own little network and bypasses the central servers.
Right.
Which is very – you've seen those?
Well, I've definitely seen the internet go down at crucial times during any kind of revolution or any kind of pushback at all. So you got to assume that would happen here. So it's best to be prepared and try to get yourself some kind of network that won't go down, stuck together with hot glue and popsicle sticks, that'll at least be a way to communicate when the shit really hits the fan.
Yeah. And apparently it's a pretty straightforward way to do it. It's within a limited range. There's another method that people have been working with, is having thumb drive drop-off places, you know, the little holes in the wall,
yeah.
A removable brick, and everybody knows. So if you need to pass information, and it's really, you know, what's going to happen? They're going to say no gathering in the streets more than 2 or 3 people. I mean, it was this way here in Uruguay only 30 years ago when they had a fascist state. Argentina, and they had disappearing people. They had a whole stadium full of people where they were torturing them and rounding up mainly students and professors and the, you know, the intelligentsia who was so against the fascist takeover. So people in these countries have seen it, and they take it very seriously. You can see it in the faces of the older generation. They've been through some real hell. But Americans have never seen squat. That's why one of the reasons 9/11 worked so well. Oh my God, we got hit. Well, look at the devastation you wreaked on the rest of the world, damn it.
Right.
You know, like they say, if God doesn't punish America, he has to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah, the Christians say. And Americans might say, well, I didn't do anything. Well, I'm sorry, but you're complicit by paying your taxes and by not standing up against it and by, you know, waving the flag and attending the football game that glorifies violence, and that always the military there, and they roll out these poor vets to honor them, and then they treat them like crap the rest of the time. They can't get their benefits, and these poor kids have been so horrifically wounded.
Right.
If they're still alive. I mean, it's a travesty, but they glorify them, all these uniforms and all this BS, to make it look like, look how we care. These are the people fighting for freedom. They're cannon fodder. They're not fighting for freedom. They're fighting for the cabal, for global control.
Exactly.
They're using them to destroy sovereignty, break down nations, just like they're doing with immigration in the U.S., just wearing it down, diluting it. I wrote a piece called The Serpentine Stealth of the Long-Range Planners, showing how this intergenerational plan that's been going for thousands of years is the same story over and over. But now, with the technological advances, so-called advances, that's debatable, they think they've got a shot to really get the whole globe under their iron fist. So this is their last hurrah.
Yeah.
And I don't think they can pull it off, because it's completely anti-everything natural. It's anti-everything that love, and anti-everything that the creative source of the universe represents. This is something playing out its ugly, ugly wrath. We don't know what's going to happen, but it can't last.
Oh, yeah. Completely agree. And I wish we could live lives more like the life you're living. I think it's really sad. It's a real shame that they have convinced people that a life that isn't on the same island as you isn't worth as much. You know, an American life is going to be worth more. They've got everybody playing this patriotic game, which to me is like kind of just an update from the religion mind control program. You know, if you're not a Jew, you're going to hell. If you're not a Christian, you're going to hell. If you're not a Muslim, you're going to hell. And now they got an update where, well, if you're not on the geographical location of us, then you're not worth as much. And it's a real shame. I would love to see us able to just move freely around the world, everybody consider themselves part of the human family. And just like you said, you've been to 40 countries, lived in 17, 18 of them, and gotten pretty familiar. That's a life that I think a lot of people want to have, but they're stuck to a 9-to-5 job. They've got their roots here. They have no knowledge of what's outside, because school isn't concerned with facilitating your adventurous, enjoyable life around the globe. They want you to just get into a corporate job. So they don't care if you don't know what it's like in South America or Argentina. You know, they don't care. So unless you really are going to take a leap, a serious leap of faith, and kind of go against all the authority figures you've had in your life, it's going to be tough. But yeah, I wish we could live more like you. And I did want to ask you, in terms of the pollution, I have heard you say that pollution and exposure to all these wireless signals were a big part of why you decided to move. Can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit for people? And I'm also kind of curious if you feel noticeably different or better where you are now.
Okay, can you hold that thought? Because I really want to answer it.
Sure.
But for what you just said about people being stuck and because you can feel really helpless. It might seem like a huge leap from where you're at to the freedom that I'm experiencing. But it didn't happen overnight for me.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time to get rid of crap. It takes a long time to let go of stuff, get rid of your any banking obligations, you know, except for minimal use, getting everything out of the system, closing up whatever you have to in those types of obligations, and just getting rid of stuff. Stuff really holds people back.
It does.
I mean, just look how many storage units you see in California. I mean, and everybody, and stuff they never even see. They go there and, you know, well, I got my stuff there, you know, like George Carlin's got a great routine on this. But, you know, you can start. An expression I use very often is, the boat has to be in motion for the rudder to take effect.
Mm.
People are sitting in this boat and thinking, well, it's not moving, or I have to decide where I'm going first. Well, if you really trust in the universe, and you at least you're going to get out there and let, you know, find your way, you've got to push offshore, and that's when the rudder will kick in. You got to be moving, and that movement doesn't have to be jumping the border tomorrow. That movement can be getting ready. if you're really serious about being prepared, start getting, you know, be prepared for a new life besides being prepared for what's about to come down. And that's the way to do it. You know, just eliminate. I mean, I can't believe how many credit cards some people have. I can't believe how many, you know, how much crap, how much equipment they never use. I mean, just drive around and look at yard sales in the United States.
Yeah.
It's obscene. Or another thing, especially when you live outside the country, you really see the contrast. But you go down any one of these suburban layouts, and on a Saturday morning, the guy's got the garage door open, and he's working on his stuff. And he's got these $3,000 to $5,000 drawers just for his tools. That doesn't include the price of all his craftsmen and the other, you know, stuff he's got. And he's got one of everything because he might need it. And then he's got, you know, the super shop vac and the generator and the pressure washer, and he's got, I mean, he's in his car and he's washing his car, and he's got another car, and he's got a boat, and he's got a jet ski, and they just go and play with their stuff on the weekend. But every house has the same equipment.
Yeah.
Why doesn't one guy on the block, he's the steward of the equipment, and everybody uses it. Every, you think how much money you can save and help somebody else. I mean, it's insane. And but they bred that into society, this consumerism. The whole thing, the guy with the most toys when he dies wins kind of thing. And it's a disease. And you cannot fight it in your own strength. You really can't. You have to become aware of it first, consciously and spiritually. Set some real directions. Set your spiritual compass first. Well, anyway, this leads me to how you view America when you're outside of America.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things is people live very frugally. I mean, I can't believe people can survive here. They've got 100% markup on anything imported, and the people do not make that much money. They've got the same problem, the super rich and a not so big middle class, but a lot of people that are really just getting by.
Even though they may have less financial means to work with, you feel like life might be a bit more fulfilling?
Well, it is, except they fall for the propaganda too, and they think they're missing out. They watch American television translated into Spanish, and all these same BS shows that are on there, which, by the way, is another thing to give up. Turn off the damn TV. Even if you think you understand what you're seeing and you're aware of the bad influences, you are getting programmed. You're getting your spirit drained. Turn the damn thing off. It has a disastrous effect on people. Mm. And similar to you asked about Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It's funny, after we got here, we were like really tired and feeling strange, and I was having weird dreams. And we landed in this cute little cottage in the middle of the woods that we rented online, which you can do, folks. You can go online and find a place, and you can find an expat who has a property somewhere, and they're willing to rent you their place, and you can talk to them on Skype, and you can get references. You can meet these people through expat blogs, which is I was going to get to. That's how to find out about these countries, is look for blogs about, you know, look for Ecuador expat blogs, Chile expat blogs, and you can start corresponding, and they'll be happy to help you. Here, we've helped a lot of people who've landed and gotten in touch somehow, and there's a terrific local expat community, and I'm in a small town, but they're in all these towns in Uruguay. And they get together like once a month and talk and have potluck parties and you know, compare notes and help each other. And as new people arrive, there's certain people, if they've got a car, I don't have one, but other people, they'll drive them around and get them used to the area and introduce them to what the customs are like and how you – because the simplest thing can seem absolutely mind-boggling, you know. how much do you tip people when – or why is this – the guy cleaned the windshield without my asking, how much do I give him? Or, you know, little things that sort of you want to be able to, you know, sort of melt into the culture. And that's another thing. People who come here and start bitching and complaining about because the lines go so slow in the supermarket, which is because people talk. They know each other. They've got kids in the same school. They're friendly and they're not in a hurry. And then the expats who don't belong here and invariably leave are the ones who bitch and complain about so slow, or people do this, or people do that. And they do not respect the culture. They do not respect the change of environment. They just try to bring America here, and we're happy to see them go. Do not bring America with you wherever you go, for goodness sake. Anyway, so it took us about 6 months of this strange feeling, and we realized we were detoxing from the States.
Wow.
And Wi-Fi was a big part of it because, like, for example, we have one daughter. She's in a building in Texas, in Dallas, and on the side of her building are 11 smart meters flush up against her living room.
Jeez.
And she's one of four buildings in a row at the same end of the buildings have all the smart meters. So within – and there's 40 smart meters within 50, 60 feet of her house. Meanwhile, if you go online, you know, and you see all the possibilities for Wi-Fi come up, it just keeps extending down your screen. Everybody's got their own Wi-Fi going. So that's intensifying another signal. Then you drive around, the massive towers. I mean, massive towers. And where are they? They're on schools. They're on hospitals. I mean, they couldn't be more nefariously placed because these people are well aware that it is having a damaging effect on the human condition.
Yeah.
They know it. It's in their research. And if anybody wants to learn more about Wi-Fi, I suggest you look up a man named Barry Trower. I think it's T-R-O-W-E-R. And he was in the British intelligence and was the guy who found out that the reason Americans were getting leukemia and super serious illnesses in the embassy in Moscow years, probably 50 years ago, was because they had a huge microwave beam coming out of the building next door going into the embassy.
Oh, man.
And he started studying about frequencies, and he realized that these cell phones were put on the exact frequency of the human brain when they didn't need to be. There's plenty of other frequencies, but they put it right. I think it's 75 hertz, whatever it is. But they put it right on that, so it has the most damaging effect. Their concern is the opposite. You'd think they'd at least do something to help mitigate some of these things, but no, they amplify these negative effects.
Yeah,
and a lot of these Wi-Fi towers. I don't know how much your listeners are aware of it, but if you see right there in San Diego, where's that plaza? I think it's in Del Mar. There's a plaza right near the bridge when you're coming out of Del Mar over on the land side, and if you see three big flagpoles there, notice they're completely cylindrical. All the way from up to down. They don't taper, but they put flags on top. Those are not flagpoles. These are broadcast antennas.
We see a lot of that too with they're making them look like palm trees now.
Yeah, all kinds. They do them Joshua trees. They do them, they're nasty. And the closer they are, they say if they're within a mile and a half of a young girl, younger than 13, it will affect her ovaries so much that within two generations, she's going to have defective children in her family.
That's the slow burn. You know, they don't do it right away. And it is a shame. There's so many poisons in at least American society, cell phones, chemtrails, GMOs, just general pollution. It's really hard to pinpoint a source, but you would say you do feel a lot healthier not being around the multitude of poisons we got here?
Oh, definitely. Now, they have problems here. There's a big deal going on. They've detected how much glyphosate is in the water in the county I'm in. And people are complaining, and just had a town meeting about it the other day. Monsanto is coming in with big guns. So they've got Monsanto and Syngenta. What's the other? I forget the Cargill. There's they have subsidiaries. You won't see the Monsanto name on some of these fields when they're proudly boasting where they get their agri products. But they're coming in strong with GMO foods here. You might have read about how bad it is in Argentina. They've got a whole town that's sick next to a big GM field that horribly sick.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Latins are not aware yet of the seriousness of this. They don't have, they're more laid back, but they're really less informed. And I'm working with other people here to get better networking on the Spanish websites.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wrote a letter to the president here about GMOs and EMFs and geoengineering, and handed it to him when he came to an event in our town. And it was four pages. I came at it very gently. He's a you've probably seen him in the news. He's the one who drives a little Volkswagen, and mm-hmm. he's a wild hair. He doesn't he dresses funky, and anyway, he's not the president anymore. But he did some really cool stuff. But he's a natural man. He didn't go for all the rigmarole. He was more a philosopher than he was a real political leader. So a lot of things happened that were really not good at all during his term, because the corporations just ran riot all over him and his administration. And I had it professionally translated. I gave it to him. And I don't know what the effects were. They said he'd get back to me, but he didn't. But I'm probably going to publish it in the local paper and see what the fallout is. But people need to be informed here. But they are happier in a really foundational way. They're simple. Their lives are simple. They walk slowly. Kids walk to school. Even they come home at night. There's no fear in the street. When I was in Texas before I came here, people would not even let their children walk to the corner, which was within sight of their house, by themselves to get the school bus. They're mm-hmm. so freaked out.
Yeah, I definitely see that all the time. And it is kind of a shame. Also, another thing I've heard you talk about, you know, I am here in San Diego on the West Coast, and the story just will not completely go away, is radiation, Fukushima radiation. Even so many years later, apparently it's affecting the U.S. West Coast still to a pretty severe degree, but it's just not talked about on the news. No one's going to let anybody know. So when everybody just gets sick and gets cancer, it's just like, oh, well, could have been anything. But I think you've stayed on this radiation thing a little bit. It's still a problem, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, big time. It's another one of these very surreal Orwellian facts in front of us, which contributes to this overload, which is causing people just shut down. They don't want to talk about anything, because one thing leads to another, and they know that subconsciously, but even more so subconsciously. But someone just sent me an article that they're poisoning our radiation. Fukushima is killing our oceans, and geoengineering is killing all of our plants and animals. What's going to happen to us? You know, and it's that dire. You know, geoengineeringwatch.org, Dane Wigington. He's a good friend of mine. It's a great site if you want to get great materials on chemtrails and HAARP and all the overarching program, and have articles that are very well researched and presented to show others, to help open their eyes to this phenomenon. But it's geoengineeringwatch.org. But Dane incessantly is on this. He's one of the most tireless and committed people I know. He doesn't see us having much more time if this keeps going, because they've completely broken the weather. The cycles are all screwed up. And now even the ocean cycles are starting to change, which is going to even more drastically affect the weather. But also the fishing industry, which has already been devastated in the Pacific. They're not reporting it, which is why people have a hard time believing it. But they need to go to good websites. Rents.com is a great site for updates, regular updates on the Fukushima radiation.
I was reading something you put up last week that was kind of about the, not so much the Fukushima thing, but it tied in, we were talking about Jade Helm, it tied that into the Gulf oil spill, which I thought was a little weird. And I think it was originally written by Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show, another great place to get information. But you had elaborated on it, and you were talking about this guy, this Peter Sutherland guy. Apparently, he left BP for Goldman Sachs just a year before the oil spill. Then Goldman Sachs and Transocean instituted a put option on Transocean stock and made a lot of money, $270 million apparently, before the explosion. And now this very same guy, Peter Sutherland, is in charge of, he's the director of the UN Migration Council. He's a Trilateral Commission guy, Bilderberg guy, former head of the World Trade Organization. And the reason I bring that up is because with this Jade Helm thing, a lot of people are saying that UN troops are playing a role in this, and that when we really are put under martial law, a lot of it might be UN troops as opposed to our own military. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of connections between the guys that are causing massive disasters, going through the revolving door, making a lot of money in the banking sector, and then going through the revolving door again, and now they're in charge of some potentially big false flag rollout again.
Yeah, it's perfectly said, Greg. You summed that up really, really well. I mean, these characters, David Sutherland, if anybody's not familiar with the name, Google it. I wrote an article called Who Let the Hordes Out back when I was when this migration, obvious, it's not immigration, it's migration. This is engineered migration into the U.S. It's happening in Europe, too, of other cultures to dilute the cultural identity, cause friction, cause economic chaos. It's like a witch and their brew, putting in all the nasty stuff. But this guy, he's nasty to the bone. But when you see the shift from these positions so unabashedly, and it's wide open news. You'll see it even on mainstream stories, and they'll consider that good credentials. Oh, he was at BP and Goldman Sachs, and he worked at WHO, and now he's the head of this migration commission. Well, certainly he's a trusted authority. He must know what he's doing. You know, these are working for the globalist agenda. I mean, look at the TTP going on now. It's the same thing. It's eliminating sovereign control over just about everything via corporate connectivity and corporate deals, which are going to be completely protected, again, breaking down those barriers. So for the UN to have to go enforce what the US is agreeing to come under in these UN agendas, which will include gun control, that one's almost through. It'll include internet control. This is where they're moving. And then who's going to enforce it? Well, the UN. And guess who the UN forces are? Well, let's meld the American military with the UN since we're all on the same team. And you might have noticed there's a lot of big bases in San Diego, but you notice they don't wear these brown khaki uniforms anymore, a lot of them. They wear blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You notice that? That's a very obvious sign that's the UN color. I mean, you're not very well camouflaged in the desert with a blue outfit or anywhere. You know, that's not camo.
Right.
That is
just a uniform.
This is a signal. And that's how they're working. But you're really right about this. And yeah, the way Dave Hodges pulled that together was really good. It's a nasty plan, but you can read their documents, and then Agenda 21 ties in, and Codex Alimentarius, all these programs that they've launched since, well, they started back in the 60s and 50s with the Club of Rome and stuff, but especially in the 90s, they've been starting then, this big agreement, you know, the Rio Summit, and I guess and all these things that people say, oh, well, there's a little bit of a complaint, but then all of a sudden these things are converging. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're shooting for.
Well, you know, you mentioned the migration, the multicultural campaign. I do hear a lot more researchers talking about this aspect of the big plan. And I do get it. I do get how that can create problems. But to me, if UN troops lock me up, I can't do much about that. You know, if the economy collapses, that would screw me pretty bad too. But a campaign of multiculturalism only really works if you buy into the idea that a person or another culture is going to be a threat to you. You know, if we don't let them turn us against each other and we remain a part of the human family first, we shouldn't have a whole lot of problems with multiculturalism.
Well, it's not the culture that's the issue. It's the effect on people who see it that way. Is for one, you know, the anger agenda,
right?
But it, more than anything, it's economic, because it's while it's breaking down social structure, like a community. There's people moving away from communities not because they dislike Latins, but it's not what they had, and they're getting bussed in by the government. It's not that these people are getting absorbed naturally, like what happened in most of California, for example, or Texas. It's not a big deal. There isn't all this cultural strife. People get along fine. But this thing is being forced, especially a lot of young people, and it's breaking the school system. They're going to, you know, obviously they want votes for the next campaign. It's going to break the healthcare system. It's meant to break the system. And the, you know, anybody who has a hang up about cultures, obviously that's not it. Mm-hmm. But it's called multiculturalism on one level, but it's more migration. It's moving in large populations into economic structures that can't handle it. Mm-hmm. And it's, as a result, it's causing racism. Mm-hmm. Because people say, you are ruining my lifestyle. I lost my job, or my community can't afford to give housing to people anymore because of the new programs, or, you know, or it's like when a rich person comes in and buys a property for three times the price and everybody's has to pay three times the price for the next things. It really screws things up. That's the plan. It's to dilute.
Right, right.
Dilute, break down. There's a concept called entropy, where in science, it's the breaking down of something complicated, it's, let's say, energetic, into its most distilled form. And what you do is you use the energy, like when things burn, it's an entropic process, and you know, it gives off heat. And what's happening in society, it's very entropic, and it's also these attacks on humanity through radiation, Wi-Fi, genetic modification. It's breaking down the natural complexity, the natural structure, into these more simpler, less complex structures, in order to siphon off the energy. There's a spiritual part of that, but there's also a societal part of that. When society gets broken down and it's just survival, you know, and it loses its complexity and the beauty of you know, the open expression, because people are operating from fear and from scarcity and all these things. Right. I don't know if I'm being clear, but this concept, that's the same thing with the EMFs. It has an entropic effect on humanity, our very cells and our DNA. Now, we have this, like, thermonuclear greater than that energy inside of each of us that can constantly help repair. If we give it good fuels and stay in the right attitude, we can help repel and keep rebuilding the natural processes, which are infinitely powerful. But people who aren't aware of that, they're not awake, they're going to break down. And that's why the whole zombie meme, you know, even the DHS was using it for training. It's that because humans, mm-hmm. those who aren't getting it, and they keep eating this crap food and the chemtrails and everything else, are going to morph. And that is their design. So and like you said, it's long term. We're not going to see it right away. The same thing with radiation. Mm-hmm. Radiation sickness manifests in a whole array of ways. It can cause heart attacks. It can cause diabetes, high blood pressure, respiratory problems. And it doesn't mean your thyroid starts pulsing, you know, and glows. Radiation sickness is a very permeating effect. So people along the West Coast, but they say, well, no, I don't see that many getting sick. Well, if you get into the deeper statistics, the amount of miscarriages and stillborns has skyrocketed. It's affecting births. And, of course, they won't take it. They won't trace it back to radiation, but that has everything to do with it. And the same with, they're not covering the mass fish die-offs. What do they always say? We don't know what's causing it. And they never mention radiation. I mean, just recently it's starting to come out a little bit, but I don't know.
It's so sad. And like I said, we're hit with so many invisible poisons that it is just such a shame that we can't really get any real answers. We have, of course, all the vaccine people that are like, hey, autism's on the rise. I don't feel comfortable getting a vaccine. Yeah, it might be from that. Or it might just be from all the other poisons. It might be from chemtrails. It might be from GMOs. It might be from Fukushima radiation. And it's tough to know. I just try to err on the side of caution. I try to stay with the natural world as much as I can, because you just don't know, and it is a shame.
It is. It is. It's a living tragedy, and especially when you see others suffering and they can't see their suffering. That's another reason we left the States, because when Fukushima, we already had plans. Our boat was in motion. The rudder was taking effect. And we were deciding which country to go to. And we were eliminating junk, getting everything ready. And then Fukushima blew. And I had my place taped up, man, with plastic and everything. Because with that first shock that was expected, I saw it on the news. That was a nuclear thing blowing up. and the plume came over really, really pretty quick. And that was just the beginning. But anyway, my wife was visiting Texas. She flew back right away, and we had plans to leave. We kicked them up. We left in 3 months. Like, why sit there and absorb that stuff? I mean, there's hot particles. There, you know, if you get one of those, it can be deadly. Just, and there are hot particles, you know, these ones that are plutonium. And, you know, some of this stuff is, you know, way nasty. And just because we're not seeing the effects yet doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. But that was another reason to get out. Down here, the northern hemisphere circulates amongst itself, the southern amongst itself. Although there's going to be crossover, and we have seen a slight rise. We have a detector, and it has risen in the 2 years we've been here, just slightly. But it's nothing like what you'll pick up in the States. I mean, like here we'll get a 0.13 to a 0.17 reading. And instead, if you're up in California, it was steadily 30 to 50 when we were there, 0.30, 0.50. And then if you fly into Seattle, I didn't have my machine, but a friend told me this. You come down, and you have your machine on in the cabin. It'll go up to 170. Huh. It's so intense along the coast, and as you know, the EPA. I don't know if people know this, but the EPA turned off all their detectors right after the accident.
Yeah,
I mean, if it was an accident, I don't think it was, but what kind of responsibility is that? Why aren't you had to go all these websites. Remember, there was a guy who had his detector with a camera on it 24/7, so you could watch what was going on. I don't know if you were on it at that time, but and I think he still has his website. I forget what it's called. But you have to look and search to find reliable information that these psychopaths are so busy just denying and covering up.
Mm-hmm. So many things going on. Let me ask you your thoughts about this World War III buzz. I mean, of course, what's going on in the Middle East plays a role. Israel's bloodthirsty aggression plays a role. Also, what's happening with Russia and the Ukraine. We're basically fighting a proxy war with them already. Lots of pieces on the global chessboard seem to be moving towards conflict. I mean, what are your thoughts on what's going on geopolitically?
Well, if you look at the definition of a world war, I think it says something like when at least 5, 6, or 7 nations are engaged in war, in some war at the same time. Well, that's been going on ever since the U.S. led into Afghanistan.
Yeah, we're there.
It's already in play. That's one thing I like to draw people's attention to is they're waiting for some big event, but meanwhile, it's the boiling frog syndrome where, these little things are coming up every day, and they're waiting. Well, when they really turn up the flames, then I'll know it's time to jump out. Well, guess what? You might be dead asleep by then. And you won't know it. I mean, have you ever sat in front of the TV? You're really tired, and you don't remember nodding off, but you did.
Yeah, a couple times a week, sadly.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's going to be like. You won't realize it. You just nod off, and you got to have foresight. You have to look down the road, and take seriously what your mind and your heart are telling you. Say, okay, I see that coming. I'm going to do something about it. That's a tornado. No, they never have tornadoes here. That can't be a tornado, Harry. Look, I see it. It's a tornado. Come on, man. The game's on. Here's it. Have another beer. That's the typical reaction because it's a bummer to hear about a tornado. That's going to ruin my day.
Right.
Kind of thing.
This has been great. Before I let you go, because we're wrapping up, would you like to remind the people where they can find your work, what your website is, and maybe keep up with what you're doing?
Sure. First of all, thanks, Greg. It's really been a pleasure, man. You're terrific. And much love to all you listeners out there. Keep going. Keep heart.
Thank you, man.
But my website is zengardner.com. It's Zen, and then Gardner doesn't have an E-N. It's G-A-R-D-N-E-R. And Facebook page is the same. Nobody likes Facebook, but we have to use it since so many people use it. And it's getting the message out as long as we can. If you want to read my articles that are just by me, there's an icon that looks like a little clock on the navigation bar. I click on that and it'll show you my timeline. It'll go down sequentially. And if you go around the site, there's a lot of features, but we have a lot of wonderful contributors that are, some of them just sprung up on the site. Some of them are from other websites. but they're contributing wonderful, insightful material. And it really, everything sort of goes together. I put up in a very eclectic mix of information. You'll be see one on UFOs, the next GMOs, then a George Carlin clip. You don't know what you're going to get, but we try to follow synchronicity. And it really is amazing because people send us ideas, or my wife and I both research almost every day, and we love to go learn and communicate and network and with others, which we do a very, very lot of. But enjoy the site and drop a note. If you'd like to write me personally, my email is zen@zengardner.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to say hi and tell me where you are, this is fascinating. You got all these people down under. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man. I mean, I really appreciate your time. What you're doing is great. You have some great contributors. John Rappaport, one of my favorite guys, he contributes to your site as well. So, yeah, everybody should definitely check it out. But, Zen, it has been a blast. I guess keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully we'll talk again. Take care, man.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Lots of love to you. And say hi to all the Diegans out there.
For sure.
And then tell them to get out.
Yeah, well, you know, seems like we've been talking for quite a while. You got a pretty nice internet connection there, which is really all I need. So maybe you'll see me there eventually.
Yeah, man, I'll help you out. Head on down.
All right,
be happy
man.
To. You got a spare room?
Sounds great. Well, thanks again, man. Take care. Enjoy the day.
Okay, Greg. Lots of love.
Rock Me Like a Hurricane, Higher Side Chatters, another one in the bag. A little more casual than a typical show, but picking up and moving away from the States is something I've been thinking about a lot. More so just for the life experience, just to get out of the American bubble. More that than anything, but a lot of people are feeling this calm before the storm type of energy, and whether you're Anthony Patch worried about CERN's gateway to Saturn, or Zen Gardner being concerned with Jade Helm and Agenda 21, there are multiple factions of the conspiracy culture pointing to this window of fall 2015 as a bit of a boiling point for several different possibilities. And I don't like to get paranoid or hype things up, but I'm sure a lot of you have noticed this. It's also interesting timing because of the great American election cycle. Not that I really care, but if you've got a president on puppet strings and you only have a short amount of time left with him, you might see just how many dances you can get him to do while you still know you have a sure thing. But either way, moving out to a little tropical paradise is probably something a lot of us think about from time to time while we count the minutes until clocking out or stare at the brake lights ahead of us on our hour-long traffic-filled commute. So I hope you found some value in this show. In the second hour, I asked Zen about his thoughts on an alien or non-physical aspect to the elite. More expat talk about Zen's travels and aspects of being an independent researcher in the modern world. How the elite's campaign has influenced several places around the globe, notably Australia. Australia, you know I got you. We have a lot of listeners in Australia. I see the numbers and I send so many shirts there. And it's really easy for me to be a dumb American and be ignorant to how many people can't relate to the things that are America specific. So I tried to throw in a little Australia talk in there too, because Zen has written about how the elite's agenda has really ramped up there. We also talk about the emerging capitals of the New World Order, new cities built to bring in the next incarnation of the Matrix while they destroy the old power centers. That's pretty interesting stuff. And also just some positive talk about being a genuine you, harnessing your creativity, and getting your boat in the water and turning that rudder on. And THC Plus is waiting for you if you're interested. But not a bad way to kick off May. I'm also really pumped for next week's show. It has been recorded and it's definitely off the beaten path and back into the realm of secret electrical sciences. So keep your minds open, your chains broken, and I'll see you then. I've done my part this week. Your move, Jade Helm Heralds. Your frickin' move.
Sweet dreams to the elite. We're calling them out on THC. Uncovering secrets and conspiracies. Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want to be abused.